Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good to be with you. My name is Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Hey, you can get a hold of us and get on the show at 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. I mentioned last hour that I want to give my thoughts on nepotism. It's a big enough story in sports from time to time that I just want to figure out where I'm at on it. And this is spurred by a story that we saw this week where the Utah Jazz have hired Austin Ainge to be the team's president of basketball operations. This was announced on Monday. Ainge, a familiar name, as in Danny Ainge, as in his dad, who is now with the Jazz as the CEO and alternate governor. The general manager, Justin Zanuck, for the Jazz will remain in the role. And team governor Ryan Smith tells ESPN he envisions the two complementing each other in the day-to-day front office operations. That will go only well. Only good things will happen there. Somebody on Reddit, the NBA Reddit, looked back and tracked down the jobs that Austin Ainge has had in his adult life. He was an assistant coach at Southern Utah. His first coaching gig came under Roger Reed, who was a family friend who had coached with Danny Ainge at BYU and with the Suns. Then he became the head coach of the Maine Red Claws, the Celtics G League affiliate, which was being run, the Celtics, by Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge was the president of basketball operations when he then promoted his son Austin to director of player personnel and then assistant GM. And now, where his dad is the CEO of the Jazz, Austin Ainge has become the president of basketball operations. These jobs would not be had if Austin Ainge was not the son of Danny Ainge. So you could say there's potentially someone out there who would have these jobs without Danny Ainge promoting his kid, or if he didn't have one. So is that fair? Well, in and of itself, it's not fair because the job is going to his kid. But from his kid's standpoint, is it not fair that he should be then disqualified from these jobs if he wants one? That's the question. If he's good enough for these jobs, do you hold it against him because Danny Ainge is his father? What does this remind you of when you think of NBA? Do you think of Bronny James? Bronny James, if he wasn't LeBron James' son, probably would not have been drafted, but a player of his caliber still would have landed somewhere in the G League. I still don't mind how the Lakers played that. I really don't. They got it out of the way. It was a nice moment. LeBron's still a top 20 player in this league. You know, if he can strong arm an organization into drafting my kid, I don't think we're doing enough to like celebrate just how good LeBron is that he can do that at this age. So that's what I've thought about that. I would say that nepotism has played a role in my life when it comes to sports. Back when my dad was a soccer coach. My dad was a soccer coach and I was a goalie. And there was another goalie and we were competing against each other. And I won the job. Now, was he better than me, this other goalie? There were things he did better than me. Yes. Would I have been the starting goalie if my dad wasn't the coach? That would have probably gone to the other guy. It probably would have gone to the other guy. Not that I couldn't have earned it, but I do feel like it helped. It certainly did that my dad was the coach. He's had three other sons play for him after, and there's been no question that the kids were good enough to play. My family is pretty good at soccer. It's just me, the one that happens to suck and gave my dad sort of that tough season. But I did have a really good game in the playoffs when I blocked every shot. But we did lose 1-0 because the defender, who was the sweeper in front of me, was really good friends with this other kid. So he saw me having a good game and then took out a guy in the penalty box so that I had to stop a penalty kick, which I did not, and we lost. So that was very dramatic times. Oh, he was also dating the girl that I had dated previously and was still, I had it bad for. So normal high school stuff. Normal high school stuff. So now I'm thinking, okay, now I'm a dad, and what if my son wants to get into radio? What if my son, he's only 5, but what if at some point if I got a radio job and he wants a radio job, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to discourage him or do I help to give him a head start? Because I have the tools to do that and I can help you out. Now, I didn't get into radio by any family means at all. There was no nepotism involved there. There were different businesses that my family's like involved in. My grandpa ran a grocery store. I did work there in high school. And then another part of my family, they like run this little group of hotels. But I never wanted to get in that business. I never wanted to do anything that it would look like, oh, my family got me this job, other than be the high school goalie, of course. But I never wanted to do anything where I just followed the family business. I thought it was important that I kind of went out on my own, or at least made my own identity, did my own job. Whatever I was going to do, I was going to be able to do because I did it. Now, there's connections and help along the way. Absolutely. But I didn't get that nepotism head start that many people do and do well with. Or some people do and they may flounder. So I didn't ever get that. And I didn't want that. But I'm thinking if my kid is in a position where he would want these opportunities, what should I do about that? I don't know, and I don't think that he'll want to do this. I mean, I'm gonna almost make sure of that, but I don't know what I would do because I see some people in this business where they like give a chance for their 11-year-old kid to like come with them at work, and it's cool. What a great moment that is! But they're also getting experiences that other kids wouldn't necessarily get. And I don't know how fair that is or not. So as I'm trying to work through my feelings of nepotism based on this Austin Ainge story, I understand why, but why would I not? If I have the opportunity and the means to help out Mike, why would I not do that? Why would I not? And then if he was good enough, then yeah, he got the inside track, but he was good enough. He rose up to that. But then again, he's only getting that position because of what position I was in. So it is a head start. So I would rather that not ever come up, but I understand why people want to do it. Why are you not going to help out your kid? And maybe like Danny Ainge, he wants to work with this kid. And you look at Jerry Jones and the whole business, and you look at a lot of these owners. We one day went through the whole front office with the Bears, and there's McCaskies all over the place. And why would you not give your opportunity for that? If you've built that, what are you building it for? You're building it for your family, so why not help out your family in the meantime? I understand there's a lot that comes with it. There's a lot of people that would do well with those chances, and that's why I do think like programs to reach out to people who wouldn't get those chances are good. You know, the Rooney Rule is good in theory. I think a lot of teams abuse that or half-heartedly interview candidates that they never wanted in the first place. I would like to see that be utilized better. But why would you not want to give the opportunity to somebody if you've built that path to give the opportunity? So I'm trying to work through just, again, my feelings on nepotism, because there's a lot of it in sports, whether it's broadcasting or coaching or football. I think football's a big one. Football, football coaching, those coaching trees are really, I remember when people would get coaching jobs and you'd be like, oh, he's actually this coach's brother-in-law. And I'd be like, wow, what a crazy coincidence. No, it's not anything close to that. It's these connections, and then you learn and you learn. So how do you balance that with trying to find the right candidates? It's tough. Is Austin Ainge the best guy for the job? I mean, he's got the experience with being with the Celtics for a long time. But then again, also, how did he get that job? Through his dad. So I guess if you are going to benefit from nepotism, you have to prove it. And you have to prove it every day. And you got to work, you know, two times as hard. And maybe you give your kid a different last name and just say, oh, no, it's just some kid that I've discovered and he's great. And, wow, I want to work with this kid forever. I'm not sure. So dealing through my thoughts on that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476 here on the Bart Winkler Show. The other big topic of the day is that Tom Thibodeau was fired. Still kind of hard to believe this one. It makes sense if they have a candidate to replace him lined up. To me, that's where I go on this. If they have a candidate lined up to replace him, that's where I go on this. Some of the candidates that have been thrown out there, Mike Malone, who was previously with the Nuggets, Jay Wright, who was with Villanova, so knows a lot of these guys, Jeff Van Gundy, I mean, that would be a throwback, Taylor Jenkins, previously of the Grizzlies, Dan Hurley's name gets bandied about. He's at UConn. He did not take the Lakers job. They wanted to stay close to home. Look at that. New York is pretty close to home. Rick Brunson is 12-1 odds on something that I saw. Mark Jackson's never going to coach again. I don't know why people keep putting his name on any of these lists. I'm just telling you, if he hasn't coached by now, no one's going to give him a job. Johnny Bryant's another one. He's been an assistant. Now he's with the Cavs. Suns are looking at him. The big question that I have with this whole Thibodeau thing is, and I brought this up last hour in Caller Fold, it does seem like we're getting to the decision point earlier than we used to. We're getting to the decision point on this guy can't do this earlier than we used to. The big one being Luka Doncic. And that was the explanation was, yes, he got us to a finals. And yes, we can continue to build around him. But we just don't think he's the guy. We didn't like how he played defensively. We don't think he's the guy. We are not going to win a finals with him. Well, you were three games away. Yes, but we're determining just based on that, that we are not going to get there. We've seen these guys over and over and over try and try and try, and teams do eventually get over the hump. And teams run it back, and you're able to do it. You know, we look at the Jordan Bulls and fantasize that. We saw Andy Reid try to get over the hump. It took four times to not make a Super Bowl, or at least not win a Super Bowl. I think it was four straight NFC Championship games. And then a few years after that, the Eagles are like, okay, we've seen with real good evidence that you're not going to get us there. You're a great coach, and we like you, and you can get us here, but you can't get us there. Typically, when that decision's been made, it's been made after years of trial and error, years of trying to see if it was going to work or not. Now we're getting to a point, and I don't know if this is going to be a trend or if this is just something that happened in two different cases that I'm trying to lump together, but you had a team move on from a star player, set to sign a Supermax, who made the finals, who you saw in that final say, nope, this ain't it. And then you lucked out and got the number one pick. And then with the Knicks, they're at a point here where they say, you've made the Eastern Conference Finals, but you can't get us any further than that. We don't believe you're going to get us any further based on what we're seeing from you. Now, you've been here a few years, so it's not like one and done, but this is a really good time for the Knicks to add to the roster, add some depth. The East is pretty vapid right now, where you can get through there. There's teams that are hurt. There's teams that are mediocre. There's not a lot of challenges next year. Yes, Indiana will probably be back, and yes, the Cavs will probably be back, but then there's the Knicks, and then who else? I'm not taking a Celtics team without Jason Tatum. I'm not taking a Bucks team without Damian Lillard, and maybe without Giannis Antetokounmpo. So you've decided, based on him getting you to this spot, and by the way, game one, that Halliburton shot goes off the back of the rim, that bounces up. If that doesn't go down, do the Knicks win this series? Does he get his job? I tend to believe that they could have gotten to the finals, just like Luka, lost the finals, and then they would have moved on anyway. Because I don't think the Pacers are going to win the finals, and I don't think the Knicks would have won the finals. So would they have moved on? Could he have saved his job? We thought if he won, you know, the first series, did well against the Celtics, okay, let's run it back. But they beat the Celtics, took the Pacers to six, let's run it back, but no. So I wonder if this is going to be a trend. And in the NBA, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I shouldn't. We got coaches that are winning finals and then getting relieved of their duties. If you look at the last eight coaches of the year, so this year was Kenny Atkinson. Obviously, he is still the coach. And then the year before that, Mark Daigneault, and he has a chance to win the NBA Finals. But the year before that was Mike Brown with the Kings, and now he's no longer there. The year before that was Monty Williams with the Suns. He is no longer there. The year before that was Tom Thibodeau, obviously just getting relieved of his duties. Nick Nurse with Toronto, no longer there. Mike Budenholzer with Milwaukee, no longer there. And then there was the year Dwayne Casey won 59 games, Coach of the Year, and they said, no, we're going to go ahead and go with Nick Nurse. So maybe this has been a trend that has been happening for a while, and we are now seeing that this is something that is more of a trend than it is in the first place. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Info guy tweets, hey, buddy, I've grown several businesses and I'm going to pass them down to my sons. It's not nepotism. That's such a weak term. It's called, hey, man, you're part of the family. You're part of the ownership. Let's move along and stop the drama. Sorry that I seem to have scratched an itch. We'll be back. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. To find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show, 888-710 for ISN, 888-710-4476. I'll never forget where I was January 1st, 2012. I saw Matt Flynn start a game for the Green Bay Packers against the Detroit Lions. Matt Flynn threw for 480 yards and had 6 touchdowns in a 45-41 victory, which set Packers records. In the offseason, Flynn then signed a 3-year deal with the Seahawks worth $20 million. Again, this is 15 years ago. $9 million guaranteed. So the Seattle Seahawks signed him to be their starter. Now, they had a quarterback competition. Tavares Jackson was the starter a year before. And then Russell Wilson was taken in the 3rd round. Russell Wilson won that job. Flynn, the next offseason, was traded to the Oakland Raiders and never really did get a chance to be a starting quarterback. Ended up with Buffalo, ended up back in Green Bay, some practice squad stints, and then ended his career with the Saints. I bring that up to bring up Sam Darnold. As Sam Darnold, not great the other day, in the Seahawks' 4th day of OTAs. So, organized team activities. It's our first chance at football, okay, in a while. We need it. We had the Super Bowl, okay. We get some combine stuff in pro days, all right. Then the draft, that's cool, but it's not football. This is football. We get to see guys put on helmets and jerseys of NFL teams we know, and then we get to see them play. Now, it's not a full game. It's not anything like a game. It's 7-on-7 simulated drills, simulated time, simulated situation. But we got to see it. And on the 4th day of OTAs, the 1st day it was open, Darnold had 2 interceptions in a span of 3 plays in the red zone. He also had several plays that fizzled with the quarterback holding on to the football. Now, when you're in this position, reporters can see it. They can write it up. They can tell you about it. It's 2025. We have got video everywhere, so they take the video. And then the video circulates around Seahawks fans, and they think, oh my God, what have we done? If you remember how Darnold was in the last couple of games that he played, especially against the Lions, there were a lot of drives that stalled in the red zone. A guy who was an MVP candidate for much of the season then stalled when he got to the red zone, and now the very next time we see him post-playoffs in a new uniform, which he signed a nice deal to go there, the same things are bothering him even in a more calm setting. So is it something that we should worry about? Is it something that we should discuss? Is it something that we should ask the coach about? Well, on Seattle Sports 710 AM, head coach Mike McDonald was asked exactly about that.
Is there anything that could happen other than an injury between now and the beginning of the season that would lead to a different quarterback?
No, you guys are crazy.
There's no way to ask the question without sounding like an idiot.
Like, I respect you gotta ask it, but like, you guys, it's just a crazy question. There's just not gonna, like, Sam's our starting quarterback. We love him. He's doing a tremendous job. I think it's funny that the media is out there for like the first day, and all of a sudden they know exactly how good we're gonna be and how good all the players are and all the tempos. Like, we don't even put on pads yet.
Question, and I like that the question was asked in a way like, I know I sound stupid, but also, is there anything? I think you can ask that question without having the bad tape that Sam Darnold may have had the other day. I think you can ask that question without having the bad tape. It still seems weird because, I mean, who's going to beat him out? Drew Lock? Probably not. Jalen Milroe? Okay, he's a draft pick. Third round, are you ready to give him the reins right away? But it has happened with this organization. So maybe Mike McDonald had nothing to do with Seattle back then, but if you're a Seattle fan and you've seen this, even though the situations may not be related at all, it's something that you have seen. And so, I do not hate the question being asked. We probably shouldn't be able to watch these practices. These are practices. And I know we're thirsty for it and we want to see what we can. And we've got the countdown now. I believe we're on 94 days until the start of the season. And we want anything that we can get. But we're going to overreact or underreact in a certain way. McDonald went on to say, God forbid you're the worst player of all time because you make one bad throw or one bad decision. That's not what we're trying to build. We want these guys to go prepare the right way. And when they go out on the practice field, let it rip, and then we'll fix it. We've got time. It's June 3rd. They're going to get plenty of reps. We'll get those things fixed. I've always been cautious in criticizing practices, in criticizing even preseason games, because sometimes starters will go out there to work on something. Like, okay, our mission in this game is try to go through your progressions or try to focus on a relationship with the number one or number two receiver, or try not to throw until you've gone through two progressions and hit your third guy. Like, try to do that kind of stuff, or be a little, you know, more loose than you would be. Let's try to open it up, see what that's like. I think those situations occur, but we never know when they do. And then if they play well, they're not going to be like, oh, actually, we were just working on something. And if they play bad, they're not, they don't say that either. But I do think, especially in these kind of practices, it's like, okay, let's play around a little bit. I'm with a new team. You know, what can I get used to? I'm going to kind of think of what I was thinking of with Minnesota. I'm going to try to apply that here. How does it work out? I don't think, especially this early, any of this kind of stuff is supposed to be criticized. The same way, I don't think, there's a lot of video that I saw about J.J. McCarthy. You know, and he's doing pretty good in these mini camp sessions. And I don't want to read too much into that either, because what are we up against? Maybe the defense is doing something different. Maybe they want J.J. McCarthy to look good. You never know. You never know. So I don't want to read in to too many of these scenarios. The Seattle thing's a little interesting just because, and unfair to everybody involved, it's happened there. I do wonder if there are other situations where you could see a surprise guy sort of steal reps from a starter in training camp, barring injury, outside of injury, anything that we could see from now until things get started for real. Just going through the teams, I'm not sure there's a lot of those situations. I could rank them in order of what would be the most chaotic, but I'll just go through them here. Okay, don't hate me, but I still believe that there is some talent left in Zach Wilson. I think he can be one of these guys that's a reclamation project like we've seen, like a Geno, like the former Jets thing, a Geno Smith or a Sam Darnold. I don't think he's taking the job away from Tua, though, making $55 million. But I am curious to watch him in camp. The Jets, speaking of, they've got Justin Fields, but I don't know who they really have challenging him. Tyrod Taylor there to be a veteran guy. Adrian Martinez, remember him from Nebraska. I think he's probably safe in that situation. We know that the Colts brought in Daniel Jones to challenge Anthony Richardson. I think you got to just let Anthony Richardson run with it, but the Colts are kind of going the challenge way. That's their prerogative. I don't entirely love it. Maybe Riley Leonard out of Notre Dame puts his hat into the ring. Geno Smith, the former Seahawk. Could Aiden O'Connell win that job back? Or they like Cam Miller, this guy they drafted in the sixth round. I'm just trying to wonder, because back to Matt Flynn and Russell Wilson, nobody thought we would get to the point where Seattle spends a bunch of money in the offseason and then go with a guy that they drafted in the third round. That exact thing could happen here. I don't think it does. That was probably a different case, and we saw what Russell Wilson turned out to be. But that was something that took us by surprise as we dug into it. Again, I am not saying that any of this will happen. I'm just looking at where maybe some possibilities of it happening could be. And I'm not sure there's really any more than that. I don't see Mac Jones taking over for the newest minted quarterback, Brock Purdy. I don't see Andy Dalton getting his job back from Bryce Young. I don't know what the hell's going to happen in New Orleans. So we'll see about that. But that would be maybe the most interesting, but there maybe aren't any really interesting cases this year where it does seem like we know what the quarterback situation is going to be outside of a Pittsburgh or New Orleans or whatever might happen with a guy like Kirk Cousins. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll come back, wrap things up, hand it off to
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Pat Boyle, that'll be straight ahead. Right now, let's get an update from Marco Belletti. It is the Bart Winkler Show, and I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN. Can I put you on the spot?
I mean, you usually do. Go ahead.
Do you have a defensive player of the week?
Oh, yeah, I've got to do a read. The defensive player of the week should be Leon Rose for ducking the media because he never speaks after the decision to fire Tom Thibodeau. We haven't heard from him. You want to say who the defensive player is sponsored by?
Was there somebody threw a no-hitter or got close or something this week? There's something like that. And something happened, like a good one.
I mean, that was a great one. You put me on a spot.
How about I highlight this pitching duel between the Astros and the Pirates?
Sure. It was actually a really good duel. Who was that? Lance McCullers and Paul Skenes?
Yeah, Lance McCullers, who's had to been dealing with some drunk guy overseas.
Yeah, seriously.
That he wanted to harm his family. He went six innings tonight, gave up just two hits, and struck out seven as the Astros beat the Pirates. The Pirates got eight innings out of Paul Skenes, who gave up just three hits, one earned run, and had eight Ks. So for that fantastic duel, we'll give it to Lance McCullers for out-dueling Paul Skenes. And that's just a little thing that we like to give out every week called the Defensive Player of the Week, which is brought to you by the Navy Federal Credit Union, where their members are the mission. NavyFederal.org. How about that?
Yeah, how about it? Make it our mission to get that read in there 2 to 3 hours earlier.
How about me saving your ass?
Well, I've done worse.
All right, just do it tomorrow. Navy Federal Credit Union.
Now we don't have to.
I'd like to say some final parting thoughts on Tom Thibodeau and his firing, if I may. And I know Pat Boyle's coming up next, and Pat's a Knick fan, so I would listen to more of what he has to say than what I have to say. So that's just, he's more invested into this and will know more about me.
Okay, see you later.
What I can do, though, is caution. Because there's part of this that feels familiar to me. Where the Milwaukee Bucks were led by Mike Budenholzer, who was a coach of the year his first year there. They won 60 games and then lost the conference finals to the Raptors. And then the year after that, they lost the conference semifinals to the Heat. And that was the COVID year. And maybe at any of those times, you could have fired him. I mean, you're not going to fire Mike Budenholzer after 1 year, are you? Well, the Suns did. But then they won the NBA Finals. The next year, they lost the conference semis. And Chris Middleton got hurt. And this was the best version of Chris Middleton that there was. So it was hard to, like, blame that on Bud entirely. And then the next year, they lose to the Heat. Now Giannis is hurt. And it's hard to blame that on him entirely. But they did. The Bucks, who for 2 years had the excuse of injuries, decided we need to make a change. Now, they made the change, and then that offseason traded for Damian Lillard. If they knew they were going to get Damian Lillard, would they have fired Mike Budenholzer? I don't know. But they hired a guy in Adrian Griffin, who had played for a variety of teams, including the Bulls, a couple of stints, had been an assistant then from 2008 all the way up until 2023. He was an assistant with Milwaukee, Chicago, the Magic, the Thunder, and then the Raptors. And off seasons would come, off seasons would go. He would interview for jobs. He would never get jobs. The Bucks gave him a job. On June 5th, they decided to hire him. Apparently, there was some discussion. It was maybe another guy that the Bucks wanted to hire, but they went with him. And they had Adrian Griffin. And Adrian Griffin, there were a lot of times where it seemed like he was maybe not ready for the job. The Bucks went off to like a 31-13 start, though. So I remember that time I was saying, what is the problem? They're winning. But you'd have people that were inside the organization and beat writers say, no, it's he doesn't know what he's doing. The assistants are trying to bail him out. Terry Stotts was hired with him. And then after like a week, he quit. And now he's with Golden State. But then during the season, Adrian Griffin got fired. And that's how Doc Rivers came aboard, who also apparently was helping Adrian Griffin, like, learn how to coach along the way. It's very awkward. But now the Bucks have Doc Rivers, and we've seen how Doc Rivers has done with this team. It hasn't been any better. And now there's questions about what the Bucks should do with Doc Rivers. It seems like we're long enough where that is going to be the case. But would they have been better off just keeping Mike Budenholzer and maybe not trading Damian Lillard and keeping Jrue Holiday? Would they have been better off? History's 2010 for me, because I have superior vision. But they took two seasons where they were hurt. Hurt in the playoffs. You can't judge the coaching there, but they did. And then now they haven't been able to get back. And now they might have to trade Giannis because of the position they found themselves in. So it's too late now, as he's been fired. But my main hope in this is that the Knicks know what they're doing for the Knicks' sake. That they didn't just do this because they didn't think Tom Thibodeau could be the guy. Because there's plenty of I'm not boosting up his resume saying, here's what he did. Here's what he did. Here's what he did. 50-win season. Conference finals. That's not how it always works. You're not getting rewarded for what you've done. The Knicks want you for what you're going to do. Which a year ago they thought was coach pretty well since they gave you an extension, which hasn't kicked in yet. But I thought there was enough there. Like, you want him to go deeper? Let's give him a better bench. You want him to do better with the team that you've given him? Well, you kind of threw it on him right before training camp started, and he's been kind of adjusting on the fly. You also have an Eastern Conference that's pretty wide open. A lot of teams that are not going to be where they were because of some injuries, aforementioned or otherwise. So if they know the guy they want, then go for it. If you've recognized this is a guy that I want, let's make that hire. But if they're just going to try to scrap together something or throw out some fishing lures, you know, maybe try to stop Johnny Bryan from going to the Suns. The house was on fire, but it wasn't. So you're not ready to move. If you're ready to move, know where you're going to move. You didn't need to rush this decision if you don't know who the next guy is. Things were going well with the Knicks. Perfect? No. Reasons to move on? Fine. Sure. But when you make big decisions like this, sometimes it's, hey, we're in trouble. Like the Nuggets. They had to get rid of Michael Malone, they thought. So they did. And then they figured out the rest later. And now David Adelman's going to be the guy. Were the Knicks in that spot? Were the Knicks in a spot where it was so bad we need to move on? I think a lot of times coaches get fired too late. I think a lot of times coaches get fired too early. It doesn't seem like a lot of times coaches get fired at exactly the right time that they should. And my concern is, this one probably came too early. So it's up for the Knicks to make sure they get a guy that can take them to the next level. Now with the pressure of knowing you've got to at least get to where Tom Thibodeau got you. And that's game six of a conference finals. If you can do that, great. But that's a big, big, big expectation on what could be a first-time head coach. Pat Boyle coming up next. Thanks to Marco Belletti. Thanks to Carlos Ortiz. Thanks to Eddie White joining us from 1070 The Fan in Indianapolis. We'll be back tomorrow. Talk more NBA. Preview the finals. Talk some Stanley Cup as well. This has been the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.